Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you. Please be seated. We're going to be in Matthew 13, so I hope you'll give your attention to the Word of God, not move around and talk to one another. If you do, I'll call you down and embarrass you, and you'll be ashamed. Matthew 13. Jesus didn't teach in parables to confuse people. He taught in parables not to condemn people, but rather he thought to excite their interest and arouse their curiosity. Parables give light to those who are trusting and searching in their hearts. But those who are unreceptive, the parables really just bring darkness to them. Kind of like in Israel's day when the pillar of cloud was a light to the children of Israel who were open to God, and it was darkness to the children of Israel who were closed and opposing the will of God. God gifts those who take advantage of His gifts, but He takes them away from those who bury the gifts. And the tragic effect and consequence of this is that lest at any time they should see, as Jesus said in this chapter. They'll not see because they'll not turn, and God says that they shall not see because they shall not turn, lest they should be converted and I should heal them. Our text gives two reasons Jesus taught with parables. One was because of the unresponsiveness of most people. Luke 8:18, he says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have." And then second, it was predicted in Psalm 78. "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I'll utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." When we say something like, "Let me plant this in your heart," we're using the same concept that Jesus used in Matthew 13 with the parable of the sower. The seed is God's word. The various soils are the different human hearts. And the varied results show the different responses to the word of God. Man's heart is like soil. It's capable of improvement, of bearing fruit. It's tragic if it lies fallow, or is like the field of the lazy in Proverbs 24. Solomon said, "I went to the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. And I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction." 19 times in this chapter, Jesus uses the word "hear." There are a lot of people who hear, but they don't hear. And if you have ears to hear, you should hear. This is the foundational parable of Jesus' teaching. You might jot down the reference, Mark 4:13. "He said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" If you don't know this foundational parable, you're not going to have understanding of all of the other parables that follow. This morning, we're going to look at three E's to profit from Jesus' parable. Follow along with me as I read in verses 1 through 9. "Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He interprets the parable in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that, that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The first E of this parable is expeditions. Every recipient of the seed who is good ground becomes a person who joins Jesus in expeditions to sow the seed. He said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. Every day is an expedition for the Christian in search of receptive soil. There are many things to be done with the seed. I've often used the hand illustration. You should hear the Bible. You should read the Bible. You should study the Bible. You should memorize the Bible, and then you should meditate on the Bible. But that's really personal. It's when you sow the seed that it becomes not just personal for you, but it becomes good stewardship of the Word of God for others as you sow the good seed of the Word of God. Haggai 2:19 says, is the seed yet in the barn? Are you hoarding the seed? Are you studying the Bible and hearing it and memorizing it and reading it and meditating on it and just hoarding it? The Bible says, he that observes the wind shall not sow. He that regards the clouds shall not reap. Blessed are they who sow beside all waters. Romans 10 says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Sowers don't manufacture their own message. They take God's message and they distribute it, don't they? They disperse the seed, kind of like the Johnny Appleseed rendition. Seed has life in itself. Soil is the human heart into which the spiritual seed of the Word of God is sown. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us it's living, it's powerful, sharp, pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. The Bible discerns the thoughts and intentions of our very hearts. Everyone needs the nourishment that comes from the Word of God. There's no other book on the face of the earth like the 66 books of the one book called the Bible, the Word of God that He's breathed through human beings. Job 23:12, Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary meat. It's more than the critical food that I eat to sustain my physical life to me, Job said. But every day is a journey for the Savior, where we go out in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, and we distribute the seed, which is water for the soul as well. The Bible says once you become a Christian, you're a stranger and a pilgrim here. This world isn't your home. Your home is heaven, and you're here kind of as a foreigner. Jesus said you're ambassadors for Christ. And as though God did beseech others by you, you beseech them. You plead with them to come to Christ. That's the journey of a Christian every day as we go on expeditions for the Lord. The Bible says, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If you're a Christian, you're a preacher. You're a gossiper of the Bible. You have a story to tell. You're a God's witness to share his good news. You've been sent. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the longer you follow the Savior, the more adept that you should become in sharing the good news. The first E is expeditions to sow the seed. The second E is expectations. Expectations. Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. You should have realistic expectations. The vast majority of hearers have unprepared hearts. They are incapable of fruitful reception of the seed of the Bible. According to the parable Jesus gave, I'd say about 75% of hearers are on their way to hell still after hearing the Bible, after having the seed sown upon their hearts. They're still not fruitful. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The majority of people in this world have never been recipients of the seed in a fruitful manner. And by the way, you should keep your own heart prepared to receive the seed. You should keep it ready to continually receive the seed. And that's a duty that we all have. The soil is the proper place for the Word of God to dwell and work and rule in. Its operation is upon conscience. The conscience is the light. It's that candle of the Lord. And the Bible says that we should break up our fallow ground. The Word of God is incorruptible seed with life in itself. It's a perpetual life force. So fruitful followers go on expeditions. They have realistic expectations. And then the last thing I see in this passage is evaluations that we can make based upon Jesus' teachings. What are the evaluations that he leads us to make? Look at verse 4 again. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. What does that mean? Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, said Jesus, and understandeth it not, he doesn't pay attention to it, doesn't get anything out of it, doesn't comprehend it, then cometh the wicked one. The birds are the picture of the devil, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. This is the highway hearer. It's the impenetrable heart. The impenetrable heart. They have no heed to it. They take no hold of it. They don't come with any design to get good, as the highway is never intended to be sown. Their hearts are never receptive. They come before God as his people come and sit before him as his people sit, but it is to see and to be seen. They don't care what's said. It comes in one ear and goes out the other. It does make any impression on them, and there's some here like that. I don't know why you're here, but you're here and it doesn't impress you a bit that the Word of God is sown in your heart. You're not interested in it. You may be interested in somebody else. You may be interested in being seen. I don't know why you're here. But if you're a highway ground hearer, you should be concerned about yourself. Seed is uncovered because they fail to give it a more earnest heed. They're like Jesus' story. He said, you cast your pearls before swine, and what do? They trample on them. They don't appreciate them. They just want more slop. They're interested in more of that, not pearls. See, the devil is the sworn enemy of the Word of God. Nobody cooperates more with him than heedless hearers. They're thinking of something else while ignoring the solution for their unsettled and unsatisfied souls, and they don't care for their own peace. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The first hearer is a fruitless, impenetrable hearer. And the second hearer is in verse 5. Look at verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The shallow hearer, that's the stony ground hearer. Very little earth. The seed is thrown upon the stony ground hearer, that kind of a heart. It only makes a superficial impression in his or her heart. And in the realm of Christianity, shallowness is really treason. To be shallow with the things of God, the most important things in the universe. These who are stony ground hearers hear the word. They don't turn their backs on it. They're quick in hearing, swift to hear. Anon, they receive it. Quickly they receive it in, and they even spring up before good ground hearers. There's just a quick reception, a quick evidence of something there in their hearts, apparently, and they receive it with joy. They're glad to hear a good sermon, but they have no root in themselves, no fixed principles in their lives, no firm resolution in their wills, nor any rooted habits in their affections. There is the green blade of profession, but there's no root of grace. Hardness prevails in the heart, and the soil and the softness is only on the surface. Inside, they're no more impressed than a stone. They have no connection to Christ, the root and fatness of the olive tree. Times of trial come, and they come to nothing. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by, they're offended. Storms come to try those who receive the word of God savingly, who bear fruit in their lives, and storms come to prove the sincerity and reveal the reality of those who are fruitless hearers. The sun which warms the well-rooted burns up those that lack roots. Lightly come, lightly go. These are they who practice Christianity light. We need more than that. Then look at verse 7. Some fell among thorns. Obvious, perhaps, that there's some there, but not very many, because the thorns sprung up afterward and choked them. Look at verse 22. He also, similar to the previous two, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Here's the thorny ground hearer. He's the occupied hearer. Could even say preoccupied. He's occupied with other things that have taken priority in his life or her life. There's too much competition for the Word of God to lodge fruitfully in this heart. There are too many other concerns for this person. And Christianity is really would just be an add-on that really isn't central to the heart. Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up. They weren't so obvious at first, the thorns, but when the seed was sown, they choked it out. These have some root at first, yet what seems like a promising convert is soon overgrown by the things of the world. Concern for success and prosperity destroys the word in the heart as much as persecution does. The stones spoil the root. The thorns spoil the fruit. What are these choking thorns? Well, what did Jesus say? The cares of this world. Care for the next world encourages fruitfulness. But care for this world, which came about through the fall, when Adam stopped trusting God and having that close relationship with God and sinned against God, he began to have the cares of this world coming upon him. Worldly care came about with a separation of sin. Those who are careful and cumbered about many things commonly neglect the one thing that's needful. Cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You don't have to be rich to be ensnared with riches. It's the love of money, you see. It's the desire for more. It's hard for them to enter into the kingdom when they trust in riches. They tend to rely upon their wealth. It's not so much riches as the deceitfulness of riches which does the harm. They're deceitful when we put our confidence in money or in our portfolio or in our gold, which is the popular thing today. That's when riches choke the word. You see, God will not be an add-on. Let me tell you this. Listen to me. God will not be an add-on, a supplement in your life. He's a jealous God. It won't happen. You can't add Jesus to everything else. Jesus must become your life. Jesus must become your all. You must trust Jesus with all of your heart in order to be saved. For it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So these three hearers have one thing in common. Not one of them has fruit. By their what you shall know them? By their fruits, Jesus said, you shall know them. These 75%, some here today, have no fruit. No fruit, no life. No life, no heaven. No hope. It behooves us to make sure that we're fruitful hearers of the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's very important. Look at verse 8 now. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. In verse 23 he says, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is the prepared hearer. Would you write that in your notes? Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. The prepared hearer is the good ground, the fruitful ground. Others fell on good ground. When good seed meets with good soil, there's no loss. Such are good hearers of the word. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is the distinguishing characteristics that we see in true good ground hearers. By this, true Christians are distinguished from hypocrites, that they brought forth fruits of righteousness. Jesus said, so shall you be my disciples. He doesn't say that this good ground has no stones in it. He doesn't say that this good ground has no thorns in it. You see, saints in this world aren't perfectly free from the remains of sin, but they're happily freed from the reign of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we're Christians, we confess our sins, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we dominate our lives with sinful practices, we've got to examine ourselves as to whether we do indeed have the fruit of righteousness. The hearers represented by the good ground are first intelligent hearers. They hear the word of God and understand it. They comprehend it. Second, they're fruitful hearers, which is an evidence of their good understanding, which also beareth fruit. We bear fruit when we practice the word. Not just speak the word, not just profess the word, we practice the word. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man, said James, shows the genuineness of his claim of Christianity. It's important that we practice the word. Third, not all alike are fruitful. Some 100-fold in fruitfulness, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. We should desire to be 100-fold fruitful. We should desire to be increasingly fruitful. Amen? That should be our passion. But not everybody has the same level of fruitfulness. Fruit is the true test of salvation. Matthew 7 and verse 6, by their fruits ye shall know them. What is fruit? Fruit is holiness. Romans 6:22. Fruit is Christian character. Galatians 5:22. Fruit is good works. Colossians 1:10. Fruit is winning others to Christ and witnessing. Romans 1:13. Fruit is sharing what we have. Romans 15:25. And it's praising God. Hebrews 13:15. If a plant is to bear fruit, it must be rooted in soil and exposed to sunlight. The same sunlight that dries up and withers away the fruitless stony ground hearer is the same sunlight that nourishes and causes the fruitful believer to prosper in the Lord. Persecution, tribulation, trouble comes to us all. John 2:23 says, now when he... Would you turn to John 2? Flip over there real quickly. John chapter 2. You see, Jesus knew that there were many people who followed him because of what he was doing and what they could get from him. And they really did not receive him as who he was intelligently. Nor did they receive him with a desire to be fruitful and obedient to him in their lives. And so he wouldn't commit himself to them. Kind of like the 666 of the Gospels. John 6:66. You ought to look it up later. But look at John 2:23. John 2:23 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. They believed like the devil believes. The devil believes and trembles, the Bible says. They believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But notice verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He knew what was in them. Unless there's fruit in the life, there's not saving faith in the heart. Hebrews 5:9 says he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We seek to obey the Lord when we come to Christ. Those who profess that they know God and in works they deny him are abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work they're reprobate. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. When you get saved, God changes your heart. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. You're not perfect, but old things are passed away. And everything is new. All things become new. You're different on the inside, and that makes the difference on the outside. You have a new heart for God. Life is different when you get saved. It's not the same life that used to be. Amen? He makes the difference. This is real. This is real. And we need to look at it with hearts that are open to the reception of the Word of God. That's the whole point of this parable. 75% failure rate has nothing to do with the seed. Is the seed inferior because of the wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer? Absolutely not. It's the same good seed. It's the unpreparedness and the unreceptivity of the heart that causes the seed not to be received fruitfully. How is your heart today? Tonight we're going to talk about how to break up the fallow ground. How to keep your heart receptive. How to be sure that your heart is. And you ought to be settled with that today before you leave here. The parable of the sower is found in the first three Gospels, and in each one, the closing admonition is different. It's important that we hear God's word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, "Who hath ears to hear?" in Matthew 13:9, let him hear. And in Luke or Mark, he said, "Take heed what you hear." Listen to the word of God. Hear it correctly. Understand it. And then in Luke 8:18, he said, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." That's like Matthew 7. Many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, in thy name we've done this, we've done that, we've done this." And Jesus said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." It's important that we know Jesus. That means we're connected. Amen? That means we've come into a personal relationship with Him that brings forth fruitfulness from our lives. Are you fruitful? You say, "Well, I'm just a 30-fold fruitful person." That's good. You're accepted by grace. Amen? "I'm a 60-fold. Well, that's good too. "I'm a 100-fold. Let's all aspire toward the 100-fold goal. But let's all thank God that it's all of grace. Amen? It's nothing of ourselves. It's of grace, not of debt, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace. What's grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's unmerited favor. It's what God gives to us because of Jesus. It's when we have our hearts open to the reality that we need a Savior. There's no hope apart from Him. And we have put our confidence in Jesus Christ. We've repented of sin. We've turned to Christ. And we've opened ourselves to His will. And we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made. Have you believed? Not like the devil. Not like these who came after Jesus for what they could get. But those who saw the worthiness of Jesus come and submit to Him as their Lord and Savior. And trust Him as that personal Savior that they need. Faithful believers go on expeditions. Faithful believers have realistic expectations. And faithful believers make their evaluations based upon the Savior's teachings concerning fruitfulness. Is your heart right with the Lord today? Is thy heart right? Let's bow for prayer. You say, "I don't know whether my heart's right." Well, make sure today. Don't leave here in a condition of questioning. Don't leave here wondering whether you know Christ. Make sure you do. Come to Jesus today. He opens His hands of welcoming grace to you and says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Today you can do that. Thank God this is still a day of grace. Still an opportunity. And it's not by accident that you're here. Make your salvation sure. Repent of your sin and receive Christ with all of your heart. There's no hope apart from Him. There's no help apart from Him. But there is salvation and hope and help and all you need wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come today to Jesus. Would you do that? Would you say, "Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. And I believe You died for me to pay for it all. And I receive You as my personal Savior with all my heart. Thank You for saving me, for rising from the dead, for Your cleansing blood. Thank You for it all. I trust You and nothing else. No one else, just You. Thank You for saving me." If that's the prayer of your heart, I hope you'll confess that. I hope you won't be ashamed of Jesus. "He that believes shall not be ashamed," the Bible says. If that's been the prayer of your heart where you sit today, if you're trusting Jesus as your personal Savior, it will lead to fruitfulness. You'll be fruitful because you'll be a good ground hearer who bears fruit in your life. If that's the prayer of your heart, if you're trusting Christ today, would you raise your right hand as a testimony between you and me and the Lord? Several. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Perhaps you need to come back to the Lord today. Perhaps you need to have a receptive heart that you haven't been having of late. Perhaps you need to put yourself in a position where you'll become more fruitful. I hope today, whatever the need, you'll come to Jesus. He's the answer. Maybe you've been saved, but you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. You need to do that. That's the first step after salvation. If you have a clear testimony, then you should follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Whatever the need, I hope you'll say yes to Jesus. Fathers, we have this time of decision. We pray that you would work your will in our hearts. We need you every hour. And Lord, today I pray for any that have just made that step of faith to trust Jesus. I pray for those that are questioning in their relationship with you that today they'd settle it once and for all and make that decision to put their hearts in your hands, to receive Jesus with all of their heart. Bless those who need to return to you. Bless those who made steps away from you that need to come back. Whatever the need, Lord, work your will in our hearts. We need you, and we confess that in Jesus' name. Amen.